following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Well, church, can you say amen this morning? No greater message than the message that Jesus saves. And there's no greater assurance in knowing that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's my prayer for you today, is that you know both of those. And that if you do know both of those, you're not keeping that good news to yourself, but you're doing everything within your effort to let somebody know. So I can remember years ago when we would go on a vacation or take a journey somewhere, traveling by car, by vehicle, across the country. I don't know if anybody else got a kick out of this, but I always had a good time getting the Atlas out, trying to plot the quickest, shortest route, the best route, the most scenic route. It was a lot more complicated back in those days. You'd have a pencil, a calculator, a piece of paper. You'd have a chart that would tell you the distance in between most of the major cities. There were a lot of different things that you could see by doing that. Most of the times they would have the miles in between each city. They wouldn't tell you what exit you were going to get off on if you had to make a stop. It wouldn't tell you whether there was construction taking place on that section of the highway. It wouldn't tell you very much about the condition of the highway altogether. So things have changed since then. Now we have navigation systems. We have GPS. All you got to do is pull up Google Maps on your phone. You type in where you want to go, and it just lays the path out for you. It tells you every step of the way, every turn you're supposed to make. It'll even tell you what the traffic conditions are like. People have called and reported that in. So going on a journey can be either as complicated as you want it to be, or it can be as easy as you want it to be. Most of the times, the journey doesn't involve point A and point B, but everything in between. So one of these days, we're each going to face death. They will put our name on a tombstone, and you'll have a beginning date and an ending date. Probably the most thing on that tombstone is that little dash in between those two dates. What did you do from point A to point B is what really, really matters in your life. Here's what I'm afraid of, though. I'm afraid that most Christians today are on a journey. They're going down the road. They haven't got a clue where they're headed to or what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, they're saved. They know for sure that they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They know for sure that heaven is their home, their ultimate destination is. But what am I supposed to be doing right now in this moment? Our sermon series is on Not Just for Sundays. And today is, I guess you can call it a sub-series. We're going to break off for a few weeks, and we're going to look at the topic of spiritual gifts. Because I want you to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now. I don't want to tell you what you're supposed to be doing right now. I want you to discover for your own self what you're supposed to be doing right now. Because I'm afraid there are Christians that are going through this world, they have no clue where they're going or what they're supposed to be doing in this moment of time. So many years ago, I'm a big fan of the professional baseball player, Yogi Berra. He was a catcher for the New York Yankees, not Yogi Bear, Yogi Berra. He was a baseball player, but he had all kind of witty sayings. Sometimes I think he was intentional about it. Sometimes I think it came out accidentally, but it was very funny in the way that it said it. If you've ever been in a situation before and you said, "It ain't over until it's over," you've quoted Yogi Berra. I remember one of my favorites is they had this new restaurant that opened up in New York City. And I said, "Hey, Yogi, have you been to such and such place?" He says, "No." Nah. He says, "Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded." You'll get that in just a minute. Probably one of the most favorite ones that I got kind of applies to this situation. He was also a manager for the baseball team. He was a coach. One time as manager, he was driving the team bus to their next destination, wherever they were playing at next. Some people got to looking around. They weren't real familiar with the setting. They weren't familiar with the scenery. They didn't know where they were at. They didn't know what road they were on. So one of the players walked up and said, "Hey, Yogi, do you have any clue where we're at or where we're going?" He just kept driving the bus. He said, "I don't know where we're going, but we're making real good time." Some Christians are like that. I don't know where I'm going, but man, this life is going by fast. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm making good time in this life. Things are ticking. Folks, time's wasting. You don't know how much longer you have on this earth. You don't know how many days you will exist. You don't know how long that little dash in between those two dates are going to be. So what my goal for the next couple of weeks is this. I want to help you find out what is your spiritual gift or what are your spiritual gifts. There's a big difference between a talent and a gift. A spiritual gift is something that God empowers and enables you to do after your day of salvation for His service and for His kingdom. A talent is possibly something that you're naturally born with. Some people are gifted with music. They can play by ear. Some people can mechanically do things well. Some people are skilled and talented at that, but it's not necessarily a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is something that you employ here within the body of believers. And so when we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, there's two ways that it is mentioned in Scripture. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia, and it is a gathering or a congregation. It is a group of people that meet together for spiritual purposes. But when you talk about the body of believers, that could be something just a little bit different. The word body in the Greek language is the word soma, and it can mean either a physical body or a group of people that have gathered together as well. We as a congregation, as a New Testament church, we are a body of believers that are known as the body of Christ. But this body is much, much more complicated than this. We are just one small part in the body of believers. And so we're wanting to find out what it is that your part is here at First Baptist Church of Morgan City or wherever the Lord calls you to serve. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're in Romans chapter 12. We're going to work through the whole chapter. I'm not going to make you stand while we read the whole thing, but we're going to read the first few verses together just to get us started. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And as you are on this journey of life, as you are discovering your spiritual gifts, this is your GPS. If you're not in the Word of God, you're never, ever going to find your spiritual gift and what God has in store for you. And as we start this conversation, this is one of four different places in the New Testament where there is a list of spiritual gifts. I'm going to give you a test here in a minute. I'm going to give you some homework after today. That you can go home and take and start exploring on your own. And we'll talk about that over the next few weeks. So here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the Roman church in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's that Greek word, soma, that I was talking about just a minute ago, soma. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Underscore those two words right there. If you want to know what true worship is part of your reasonable service. He's not talking about the bare minimum of what you should do as a Christian, but he's saying, what is it that you should be engaging in each and every day for God's kingdom? This is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, this book that I'm holding in my hand is more than just a book. It is something that can empower us. It is something that can enable us. It is something that will read into the issues that we're dealing with each and every day. And this word is also the foundation in which we stand upon as a church. And we just thank you so much for our copy of the Holy Scriptures that we can read and understand and hear your voice speaking to us. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what it stood for so many years. But Lord, since I've been here, since many of these others have been here, this congregation is shaping into something different. And Lord, right now we want to find out what it is that you're preparing us to do. As we talk about the fact that church isn't just for Sundays only, Lord God, I want to know what my part is. And I want this congregation, each and every member, to know what their part is as well. Not just to show up here on Sundays, but how can I be engaging as a member of this church, as a member of your body, to further advance your kingdom and let the whole world around us know that Jesus saves. So I pray, Lord God, as we explore your word right now, that you'll speak to us and you'll speak through me and you'll prepare us for what lies ahead. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Four different points that we're going to draw out of this chapter. If I had one book in the Bible that I was going to keep and read each and every day, if I had only one book to choose from, it would probably be the book of Romans. If I had one chapter, it would probably be chapter 8 of the book of Romans. But as we study the topic of spiritual gifts, I want us to use chapter 12 as a springboard, because we're going to get into a list here in just a minute of specific spiritual gifts. Point number one comes right from verses 1 and 2. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that pursuing God's will for a congregation starts not with the pastor, not with a Sunday school teacher. It starts by each and every member being dedicated to a personal pursuit of holiness. Paul says this is your reasonable service, that you live your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And for this reason, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in this context, as we will see in verse 4 in just a moment, Paul is writing to a congregation, and he says that this one body has many different members or many different parts. So I think here in verse 1, he is speaking about both an individual body and also a body of believers. He's making a comparison here. He wants the body of Christ to be healthy, whole, and holy. And he wants the body to be offered to the Lord for service in order for them to perform the service that it was created to do. And it all begins with your daily walk. So I want you to consider this. I want you to consider, how healthy would your body be if you only ate one meal per day? How healthy would it be if you only ate one meal per week? Is there anybody here that eats only one meal a week? Raise your hand. Let me see if it is. Most of us eat more than one meal a day. Amen? We like to eat. We know that it's necessary. Sometimes that is abused in some ways. But we know that in order for our bodies to function, we have to have the proper amount of calories. We have to have the proper nutrition. So we don't eat just one meal per week. So it is with your spiritual life. You can't expect to have a thriving spiritual life if you're only feeding the spiritual side of your person once a week. That's why I keep saying, how's your quiet time? And that's why we keep saying that church isn't just for Sundays only. I hope, and I pray that this morning was not the only time this week that you've opened up God's word and you've nourished your soul with it. The sincere milk of the work is what our bodies crave for our spiritual person to be successful. The bottom line is this: the body doesn't last very long without proper nourishment. When you were saved, you were given a spiritual life as well. You were born with a sinful nature. But at the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you were given a spiritual nature. Which one is going to survive? The one that you feed the most. If you continue to feed that sinful nature each and every day, it's going to thrive. It's going to take over and it's going to control your life. But if you will pray, if you'll spend time in God's word, if you'll spend time around God's people, if you will feed that spiritual nature, you will see your life change dramatically. Your spiritual intake. So that's why I emphasize personal time with the Lord so much, because I know that in order for our congregation to be spiritually healthy, each and every member must be spiritually healthy. Your reasonable service is a continual pursuit of holiness in order to keep the body of Christ functioning as it should. My youngest son has been into bodybuilding and weightlifting for several years now. And what he does with one arm, he tries to do with the other arm. He would look kind of awkward if all he did was go to the gym and with his right hand did curls like this. He would have a big bulging bicep on this side, but he would have a little bitty toothpick like mine on the other side. So each and every member has to be exercised. The whole body has to be nourished. And in order for us as a congregation, as a body of believers, to continue to grow, each and every member, you and you and you and you and you, everyone here, has got to grow stronger in their spiritual nature. And you've got to nourish you. And you can't rely on me to do each and everything for you. I'm not going to come to your house every morning and say, okay, it's time for breakfast. Let's eat. I'm not going to come to your house, cook you lunch, fix you a sandwich or whatever. And I can't get up with you each and every morning and say, hey, it's time to pray. Get out your Bible. Let's read through the book of Psalms. Let's read some Proverbs. I can't do that. So I'm depending on you. And this congregation is depending on you as well. The body of Christ, the worldwide body of believers, is also depending on you to be as strong as you possibly can. Pursuing God's will for a congregation starts by each member being dedicated to a personal pursuit of holiness. This is your reasonable service. And this isn't a small thing for the Apostle Paul. He says, I plead with you, brethren. I beseech you, do what you need to do to make your body, your spiritual nature grow as strong as it possibly can for it to benefit the whole body here at First Baptist Church. So once you become dedicated to pursuing God's will for your life personally, you'll soon discover that He has a specific destination for you, and you're part of something much larger than you can imagine. You will find that you are only a small part of a much, much larger plan. Moving on in verses 3-8, we find this. We find that the Church of Jesus Christ is designed to function with every member exercising their gifts. Many of you have heard out in the secular world, maybe on your job, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. My hope and my prayer through this is that will reverse here at First Baptist Church. That what's going on here will be evenly distributed. And once you find and discover your spiritual gift, that you'll start exercising it. And that our body here will become much, much stronger. We'll have 80% of the people doing as much work as possible. And the load will get lighter and lighter and lighter. That's what God's design is for 100% participation by every member of the body. So if you're taking notes on your outline, write down these four passages. Romans 12 is the first one. We're already in it. There's four different places in the New Testament where the list of spiritual gifts is found. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4 verses 12 through 13, and 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. Here's the thing that you're going to find as you begin exploring the topic of spiritual gifts. In just a moment, I'm going to tell you about an assessment you can take, a little personal test that will kind of chart out where you stand, where you're weak, where you're strong. One of the things you're going to find out is that the person sitting next to you, their spiritual gift may be totally different than what yours is. No two individuals that God has ever used mightily shared the same personal qualities in their lives. Yet God provided at just the right time what each and every one of those people needed to accomplish His will during that time. What was the key? Willingness was the key. Obedience was a key. Yes, Lord, I am willing to pursue what You have gifted me to do and put it into work and implement it here in the body of believers. When you think about it, Moses was a leader. He was a shepherd of the flock for over 40 years. Moses had a speech impediment. He did not speak well publicly. That's why the Lord equipped him with Moses to be the Aaron to be his spokesperson for him. But Moses had other spiritual gifts and qualities that enabled him to be a leader. The Apostle Peter, he was a leader. He had foot and mouth disease. He always seemed to say the wrong thing at the right time. But still, on the day of Pentecost, God used Peter to proclaim the gospel. And on that day, over 3,000 people were saved and baptized. And the church was birthed through that. The Apostle Paul had a young protege by the name of Timothy. Timothy was trained and groomed for service from his youth on up. He was equipped and prepared to be a pastor of a local congregation. The Apostle Paul himself, he underwent a radical transformation on the road to Damascus. He was a religious leader. He had the knowledge of God in his head, but he didn't have it in his heart. But on the day that he was saved, that God spiritually enabled him to become a missionary and an evangelist, to begin planting churches all over what we know as Asia Minor. Here's the thing. God has dropped you here in Morgan City, First Baptist Church, wherever you're serving at, and he's equipped you to do something that I can't do. He's equipped you to do something that the person sitting next to you cannot do. He might have equipped you to do something that you and only you can do. And we need you here at this church to be actively engaged in finding what the Lord has for you to do. Verse 3, the Apostle Paul says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Whereas we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." There it is right there. You might be an arm. You might be a leg. You might be an ear. You might be an eyeball. Each one is equally important, and each one is necessary for the body to function the way that it should. So being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Underscore those four words right there. Verse number 1, he says, "You have a reasonable service." And here in verse 6, he says, "Whatever gift that you have been given, be sure to use it." And then he goes into this list of specific spiritual gifts. If you've been given the gift of prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. Look, I need some people in my life that will encourage me and exhort me. And if that's your only spiritual gift, brother, the Lord's saying right here, you better put it to use. So you better find somebody to encourage. You better find a way to exercise that spiritual gift and do it to the best of your ability. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I don't have the gift of mercy. It's been proven before. I have scored low on that point. But I still work at trying to be as merciful as I possibly can. I want to have a kind and compassionate heart. And the Lord's growing me in that area each and every day. But the Church of Jesus Christ is designed to function with every member exercising their gift. Whatever gift or gifts that God has blessed you with, make sure that you are exercising it to the best of your ability. If you're not serving because you don't know what your gift is, I'm about to remove that excuse for you. When you walk out of these doors today, you're not going to say, "Well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't know how to find out. How do I discover?" You're not going to be able to say that. I'm fixing to remove that excuse from you. Some of you have the ability to go to the internet and print out stuff at home. Some of you do not. I have printed a few copies of this. You can go to lifeway.com, and there's a spiritual gift assessment. There's three different things that you'll find on that. Number one, you'll find a spiritual gift survey. Number two, you'll find a list of these spiritual gifts where they each and every one is designed. And the third thing that you'll find is a discovery tool. Where do you feel God leading you to serve Him today? So if you don't have the ability at home to print one of these out, we're going to have some copies out in the foyer. I only have about 15 or 20 of them. If we run out and we need some more, I'll print some more, most definitely. But you can go online at home. You can print it out if you can. If you can't do that, take one of these. And what it is, it's got about 80 questions for you to answer. Be honest about answering each and every one of them. Don't look at the gifts and say, I hope that I end up with this gift and I'm going to answer this way. Don't do that. Just take these answers, these questions, and answer them honestly. Some of them are true or false. Some of them are on a scale of 1 to 5. And then what you'll do at the end is you'll add up each and every one of them for a total score, and it'll tell you where it thinks, based upon this assessment, your spiritual gift actually is. So you got a little bit of homework to do. And this is a list that we're going to be using over the next few weeks. We'll look at each and every spiritual gift individually. We'll try to define them and refine them and help you to identify them. But I think verse 6 is the most important part. If you do know what your spiritual gift is, God expects you to use it. Once you take this test, and once you find out what your gift is, it may be teaching, it may be giving, you are then obligated to implement it to build God's kingdom. Let us use them. A gift is no good if it's sitting on the shelf collecting dust. We need 100% participation here to accomplish God's goal and what He has for us. Amen. And so we have a copy of something also out in the foyer. I mentioned this Wednesday night. It's a church covenant. There's some in the back of the pews in front of you that look like this. And it actually says something in there about us doing what we're able to do to get along with each other and to put our spiritual gifts and to continue to grow spiritually. The second paragraph, it says, we engage therefore by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love. We're going to get on that in just a moment. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, what he mentioned in verses 1 and 2, and comfort. To promote its prosperity and spirituality. To sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. To contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expense of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Brothers and sisters, the only way for that to be as accomplished is for you to discover your spiritual gift and to put it to use here in the body of Christ. Next, the Apostle Paul moves on. He says there's two different things that you need to know once you incorporate your spiritual gift. Number one, it is to be used here in the congregation. And then number two, it is to be used outside to minister to those who are outside of the congregation. Verses 9 through 13, he talks specifically about your treatment to your brothers and sisters in Christ. He moves on from the topic of spiritual gifts, but he also says that you are to serve one another in love. Several letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, Romans and Corinthians, he talks specifically about the topic of love in depth. In verse 9, he says this. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So having a healthy body requires a certain degree of devotion. Our ability to share the love of Jesus, point number 3, our ability to share the love of Jesus with the outside world It begins with our devotion to each other. Bottom line is this. If you can't love the person sitting in front of you, or the person sitting behind you, or the person sitting behind you, if you can't love those that are in your Sunday school class, or in your small group, in this congregation, how in the world are you going to show the love of Jesus to someone on the outside? It's not going to happen. Implementing your spiritual gifts and serving one another. Did you notice what he said? Right there in verse 10. He says, you are to do it in honor, giving preference to who? To one another. Are you devoted to loving the people here in this congregation? We're not just a group of people. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is not an organization. It is an organism. It is living. It is breathing. It is growing. It is moving. It is functioning as a body, each and every part doing its responsibility. But we have got to be devoted to one another to be able to reach the world on the outside. So one thing we know about having a healthy body is this, is it requires a lot of dedication. Physical training can either be simple or complicated depending on what the need is. One thing that can set a person back in their fitness journey is what? It's an injury. If one of my body parts gets injured, if I twist an ankle, if I wrench a knee, if I throw my elbow out of whack, the rest of my body is going to suffer for it. It's not going to function as properly as it should. And it's going to be much, much harder to reach my level of fitness that I've set my goals on. Whether it happens accidentally or whether it is self-inflicted, when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body doesn't function as well as it should. Now, if I were to take my right arm, no doubt about it, if I were to sever it off and it were to fall to the ground, it wouldn't last very long. It has nothing to give it life. That's the same way with a member of a church. That's the same way with a member of the body of Christ. When that member, when that person is removed from the body, guess what? They're not going to survive very long. They're not going to last very long. Do we have people that we are checking up on who have become detached from the body of Christ? Are they suffering from something either self-inflicted or accidental that they need help with? Do they need somebody to pick it up and reattach it back to the body and put it back in place so it can become part of the body again? That's the level of devotion that I think the Apostle Paul is talking about right here. In these verses, the Apostle Paul mentions that we should give preference to one another, and we should also distribute to the needs of the saints. Let love be without hypocrisy. 1 John chapter 4 says this, if someone says, I love God, but I hate my brother, he's a hypocrite. He says, what good is it if I say that I love God that I cannot see, but yet I don't love my brother that I can see? John says that's an impossibility. He says, if you say that you love God and you best love your brother and your sister, that's a part of the body of believers that you're attached to. I still love listening to Adrian Rogers, and there's a little poem that he, I don't know if he wrote it or if he had it from someone else. It described what I'm talking about. He says, to live above with those we love, oh, how that will be glory, but to live below with those we know. Now that's a different story. It's tough. It can be tough sometimes. It can be difficult sometimes. Some people are just hard to get along with. But the Apostle Paul is saying right here, if you are a part of a body of believers, you better be looking out for one another, and you better be devoted to one another. The last thing we see, point number four, is that our effectiveness to reach the lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is dependent on how we treat those around us. Reaffirms this fact that we just spoke about. Beginning in verse 14, he says this, "Bless those who persecute you." Now, that's kind of ironic coming from a man who used to persecute Christians. He's saying, look, if you're being persecuted, the best thing that you can do to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not be angry at them, not try to get revenge on them, but bless them. He says, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then he gives you a formula right here. He tells you exactly how to treat your enemies. Have you ever heard that old saying, kill them with kindness? That's basically what he's talking about right here. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. And for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the best way to reach this outside world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is for you to find your spiritual gift. What part of the body of Christ am I? And how can I start exercising that spiritual gift so that not just myself will get stronger, but the rest of the body will benefit from it? If I exercise my spiritual gift and it grows stronger, possibly I'm going to be able to help a brother or sister in Christ right here in my own congregation with their own problems. But yet, if I'm to reach the outside world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it starts right here. Showing kindness to each other, showing love to each other. If you can't love the people right here, how in the world are you going to love the people that think differently than you are? And he says that right here. He says, be of the same mind. In verse 16, he goes right back to where he started off with. Renew your mind. Be transformed. And then let your mind be the same thought, process, goal as the brothers and sisters right here in your own congregation. Brothers and sisters, the Lord could use any means possible that he wanted to spread the gospel in this lost world. He could do it through nature. He could do it through any part of creation. I've got an evangelism professor. His name is Preston Nix. I've heard him mention this several times. But here's what he said. He said, God's chosen instrument to spread the gospel is the church. We're it. There is no plan B. We are what he had in mind when he said, I'm going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I'm going to use the people right here in the body of Christ to do it. You may have a gift of mercy. You may have a gift of teaching. You may have a gift of giving. I don't know what your spiritual gift is, but God has chosen you to be connected to this body. And if not this body, somebody, another congregation, another church somewhere, and exercise and develop your spiritual gift so that he can use you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day, not just on Sundays. Today is the day when you come and encourage one another. Today is the day when I encourage you. Today is the day when I pour out of my heart what God has laid upon it, so that hopefully you'll benefit from it. Today is the day when I share my experiences, my life story, what I've done, where I've been. I'm doing what God has enabled me to do for this moment. And now what I need you to do is I need you to find out what your spiritual gift is. What is your part in the grand scheme of things? Where are you headed on your spiritual journey? It's not to be some random location. I don't want you to get to some destination and say, oh yeah, this, no, I want you to say, this is where I know the Lord has me headed. And this is why I know the Lord has placed me right here in this congregation. You may be a member of this church, I don't know. You may be a member of some other congregation, I don't know. I just would encourage you to be a member somewhere. It's not something imperative that you have to do. But God loves the church. God created the church. And the whole thing that started this sermon series off of this, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here's what some people think. Some people think that the church is a cruise ship. You're there just to enjoy the ride. You want to have your soft serve ice cream anytime you want it. You want somebody to bring you a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, bring you a towel, a blanket to cover up with, just to enjoy the view. Folks, the church is not a cruise ship. The church is a battleship. We are in a fight, and our fight is for the souls of mankind. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And if each and every one of you is doing your part, if you have discovered what your spiritual gift is, and when you discover what your spiritual gift is, we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ than ever before. We can engage in the battle against the enemy each and every day, not just on Sundays. When each and every person mans their battle station and says, I'm doing my part, let's go get them. Maybe you haven't got a clue about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift will never become yours until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You may not know where you're headed for eternity right now. Brothers and sisters, that's the first step, is to make sure of your eternal destination. I've had people tell me so many different things here lately. I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Let me just tell you, there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Good people go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. And that's my question for you today is this. Are you saved? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you know for sure today that when you reach that final destination, that date that's going to be your final date on the tombstone, on the right-hand side of that dash, whatever date it may be, where will you spend eternity? The first step in you discovering what your spiritual gift is knowing for sure that the Spirit of God lives in you. That at some point in time, you've confessed your sins. You've asked Jesus Christ to come in and be your personal Lord and Savior, and you've made a commitment to serve Him for the rest of your life. If you can't think of a time in your life right now when you've done that, in just a moment we're going to have a time of invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is a time for commitments. This is a time for decisions. This is a time to respond to what you've just heard. The gospel message is a powerful message. The gospel message is a life-changing message. The gospel message is when you move from darkness into the light, from death into life, and God has made you a new creation. Say, Brother Tracy, I don't know what it means to be saved. To be saved doesn't mean that you've been saved from your ability to sin. As long as you're in this fleshly body, that ability is always going to be there. What it means to be saved is that you've been saved from the penalty of sin. The Bible says that we're all born with a sinful nature. There are none righteous, no, not one. And because of that, the wages of sin is death, a spiritual separation from God in a place called hell. Hell was not designed for men. Hell is a place of eternal punishment. Hell is a place that you do not want to go. And hell is for those who have not repented of their sins. To repent of your sins means not just saying, I'm sorry, but I'm turning away from that for the rest of my life. I was once going the wrong direction. I'm now going in a direction that moves me closer to God. My life is devoted to Him each and every day. And only Jesus can save you from your sins. 1 John 1:9 says that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. Not our good works. Not going to church. Not reading the Bible. All of those things can be a part of that. It's only by confessing your sins and asking Jesus to forgive you and save you that you can know you have eternal life. Jesus said in John 14:6 that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man's come to the Father but by Him. How do I begin that process? What's the first step? The first step is to open your mouth and ask Jesus to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Friend, it's only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can be set free from sin. If you've never prayed that prayer before, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to offer you that opportunity right here. In just a moment when the music begins, the altars will be open. John Logan's here. I'm here. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll point you in the right direction to help you get started. Maybe later on in just a moment, if you didn't make that decision during the invitation time, we got a room out in the foyer that is now devoted to a counseling room. If you want to talk later on after the service, we'll be there. We'll be available. We've got some information in there that we could share with you. Let the Lord change your life. He's the only one that can do it. And you can walk out of the doors of this church today with a new outlook on life, with the assurance that your sins have been forgiven, with the promise of heaven as your home one of these days when you leave this earth. Heavenly Father, we come before You today thanking You so much for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, I just pray right now that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, whether it's through our live feed, whether they're here in person, wherever they're at in life, Lord God, they don't know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would leave today with the assurance of knowing that You've changed their life and that Your Holy Spirit lives within them. Lord, I pray that for the congregation here, I pray for those who will begin this journey on searching for their spiritual gifts. Lord, that You would open their eyes, open their ears, help them to hear what Your Holy Spirit is saying them, help them to identify exactly what it is that You've gifted them to do, and that You would give them the willingness and the boldness to begin exercising that gift. If not here in this congregation, maybe in another church somewhere. We just ask it all in the most powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.